one of the good achievement of Sheikh Muhammad Taqi Qumi is this one, that he had a very nice communication with the Sunni heads of Sunni community in the Egypt.
In order to get these different cultures closer to each other, he decided to focus on the main pillars of Islam and forget about differences in branches.
Be more familiar with outstanding Shia figures in The Teacher.
What will we say in front of it?
Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. You are listening to the program The Teacher. I'm Atta, the host of this program. Within the studio for today's discussion are two guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Sheikh Mahtavi and Sheikh Ziyania. Sheikh Ziyania, assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
And Sheikh Mahtavi, assalamu alaikum, brother.
Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah.
The program The Teacher is about the lives and the works of the most outstanding Muslim scholars, jurists, philosophers, and thinkers all across the nation of Islam. And for today's discussion, we want to talk about one of the most outstanding Shiite dignitaries, cleric, one of the scholars who dedicated his life on establishing dialogue and unity among the Muslim denomination and sects all across the nation of Islam. He is no one but Ayatollah Muhammad Taqi Qumi. Sheikh Ziyani, let's start with you this episode. Give us some information about the early life of Muhammad Taqi Qumi.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Sheikh Muhammad Taqi Qumi was born in 1289 according to solar calendar. He was born in 1910.
Yes.
He was born in the city of Qom, and he moved to Tehran when he was very young and studied in elementary school and then in high school in Tehran, and he studied in literature. Besides studying in high school and, you know, learning the Arabic language, French language, and English, he studied in Islamic Studies Seminary. And from that moment on, you know, I think that because he learned three languages beside his mother tongue language, that was Farsi or Persian, this mindset was formed in his mind that taqrib is very important for Muslim Ummah. That's why when he was 27, he moved to Egypt to actualize this idea that letting Muslims sit beside each other and to have them tolerate each other.
That's right.
And be a friend of each other. So Sheikh Muhammad Taqi Qumi moved to Egypt. And, you know, the moment that this idea came to his mind and, you know, was strengthened in his mind was the event that took place in Mecca, that was a Shia follower of Islam.
That's right.
Was killed and was executed by a court in Saudi Arabia because he had vomited in Masjid al-Haram.
Okay.
So, because after this event, the political relationship between Iran and Saudi Arabia was, you know, cut. And there were many, you know, tensions between Muslim Ummah.
That's right.
Or amongst Muslim Ummah. So that's why Sheikh Muhammad Taqi Qumi moved to Egypt to find a solution for this problem. And this shows that at the age of 27, he had great visions for Muslim Ummah. And this is very important. When you have great visions, you may take great steps.
That's all right.
And he was amongst those people who took great steps for the sake of Islam.
And Sheikh Mahtavi, is it true that it was over there that he was among the founders of Dar al-Taqrib, Bain al-Mazahib al-Islamiyyah, and taking part in the sessions with the other leaders of Islamic denominations over there, isn't it?
Yeah, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This is, as it is recorded in the history, in cooperation with Sheikh Mahmoud Shaltoud and Sheikh Mustafa al-Maraghi. Actually, at that time, Sheikh Mustafa al-Maraghi, he was the head of the University Al-Azhar, and after him, Sheikh Mahmoud Shaltoud succeeded him in being the head of the University of Al-Azhar, and also in cooperation with Mustafa Abdul Razzaq, who was the president of Egypt at that time. So this is also a very important point.
Okay.
This is also recorded in the history that, based on some narration, he was invited to Egypt by Sheikh Mustafa al-Maraqi, the head of the University of Al-Azhar, when he realized that this man and this scholar has the tendency of bridging the gaps between the sects. And since the Muslim Ummah at that time was suffering from the conflicts and segregations among themselves, so the head of Al-Azhar University, he was also of this view that this is a good idea to bring all Muslim leader among around one table. Why? Because if we spread this ideology of unity among Muslim leader, then from the leaders it will go down to the followers.
That's right.
So one of the good achievement of Sheikh Muhammad Taqi Qummi is this one, that he had a very nice communication with the Sunni heads of actually Sunni community in the Egypt.
And was it his introduction out of the Shia and Jafari school of thought to our Sunni brother in Al-Azhar that made it official over there? I mean, because of his efforts and his presence. Because for sure, from our Sunni brethren needed some clarifications and explanations, isn't it? And the best people in order to do so are the Muslim Shia scholars. Muhammad Taqi Qummi for sure was one of them, isn't it?
He was given the chair to teach in Al-Azhar University. And this is interesting that at the moment he was given this chance, and this is also narrated that he was not much confident upon talking about the issue of unity with the vice chancellor of the Al-Azhar University, because, you know, if you are invited somewhere as a visiting professor, so you have to be conservative as much as you can. Why? Because you don't want to lose this opportunity. But for the sake of Islam, for the sake of unity, he talked, as it is narrated in his biography, that the moment I was talking to the head of Al-Azhar and I was bringing up the issue of unity among Muslim sects, I was really nervous. I was not sure if he is going to welcome this view. But interestingly, he welcomed this view, and we see the fruit of this communication is that the moment he was teaching in Al-Azhar, he benefited from that position to establish or to start publishing the journal Al-Islam.
Risalatul Islam.
Yes, Risalatul Islam.
That's right.
And when he comes back to Iran, he talks to Ayatollah Burujerdi, the head of Shia in the world of Islam. And he tells everything about his communication with the leaders of Sunnis in Egypt. And Ayatollah Burujerdi welcomes him with the open arms. And he himself, Ayatollah Burujerdi, he compiles, maybe the thing was ready at that moment, but he compiles an article on the Hadith Ghadir based on Sunni sources.
Yes.
And then this article will be published in where? In Risalatul Islam,
right,
the journal that Sheikh Muhammad Taqi Qummi founded in Al-Azhar.
Right.
So from the position that he received in Al-Azhar.
Okay.
So he was trying really hard
right.
to establish this unity among Muslim sects in
That's
Islam.
Right. Thank you very much. Sheikh Ziya, so when we get to the journal of Risalatul Islam, we could see that on different articles, he's explaining his methodology of establishing dialogue among different denominations and sects. Because you give us some of the practical thoughts of Sheikh Muhammad Taqi Qummi in order to reach such a goal. What are they?
First of all, we should know that he was believing that for establishment of united Ummah of Islam, there is no way but uniting the culture of Muslim communities and Muslim, you know,
any kind of cultural unity has to be established, okay?
And this cultural unity cannot be achieved unless you have dialogue and relationships. So in order to get these, you know, different cultures closer to each other, he decided to focus on the main pillars of Islam and forget about and overlooking about the differences in branches.
Yes.
So that's why he says that we need to have cultural unity in order to unite Muslim Ummah regarding the tenets of faith and to forget about the differences that led or direct us toward takfir and, you know, blaming each other.
Yes, very good.
So he believes that Muslim Ummah would not suffer from differences, but Muslim Ummah would suffer from cutting the relationships because of the differences.
Okay.
So he was not in position to reject the differences, but he was in the position of letting people be aware of the differences and also, beside this, be aware of the common points.
That's right.
So that's why he says that Muslims, all, they accept that we have to act in accordance of the sayings of the Holy Prophet.
That's right.
So because we all are agreed on this point, so let us follow it. And we all believe that we have to follow the orders of the Holy Prophet. Some Muslims, they add descendants of the Holy Prophet. Some Muslims, they add the companions of the Holy Prophet. He says, okay, but the Holy Prophet is the pillar.
The pillar.
So let us gather around this pillar.
Access, that's right.
And to get benefit from this main pillar.
That's right.
And yeah, you are believing in different, you know, ideas. Mm-hmm. It's respectful, but let others be aware of your reasons, of your reasoning, not blame them because of their beliefs. So that's the way that he was believing and, you know, also broadcasting his mindset amongst Muslim Ummah. Alhamdulillah, he was successful.
Alhamdulillah, was successful, and his method was really, I think, practical, a man of action. Okay, anything missed, Sheikh Mahtavi?
I think for the final point, I would like to narrate one of his nice saying regarding the unity among Muslim Ummah. He is saying that if we look at two words, Shia and Sunni, and we give more thought to realize where these two words are coming from and what is the literal meaning of these two words, we will find all Muslims as both Shia and Sunni. How? Because what is the meaning of Shia? Shia means the follower. We have in the Quran in Surah Safat, verse 83, وَإِنَّ مِنْ شِيَتَهِ لَإِبْرَاهِيمِ, we have this word. So he's saying that since all Muslims are loving the progeny of Prophet, you cannot find any Muslim in the west of the world or in the east of the world who does not love the progeny of Prophet. So all of them, they are loving the progeny of the Prophet. So they are following the progeny of
Prophet. They are the
Prophet.
Shia, in fact.
So, yes, so they are Shia.
Okay.
And when we look at all Muslims in terms of action, we see that they are following also the tradition and sunnah
of
the Prophet. So whether or not we are Shia or Sunni, both titles will be applied upon us. Why? Because we are loving the progeny of the Prophet, and we are acting upon the sunnah of the Prophet. So why we should fight with each other? Why we should only talk or give focus on the differences which will lead to the segregation and actually separation among us?
That's all right. Really, really beautiful sentence from his side. You know,
may God bless him. Yeah.
Yes, there are Muslims all around the world, are both Shias and the Sunnis, following the Prophet and the prophetic lifestyle and the progeny, and also acting according to the
Sunnah
of the Prophet. Really great, I think, as Sheikh said, mindset from both brothers. I mean, from our Sunni brethren on that time at Azhar University, and from a Shia brothers like Muhammad Taqi Qumi in Iran. Yes, 1990, according to the Christian calendar, is the year that this outstanding man passed away in Paris, in France. Of course, there are different, you know, stories and news about his death. Some people might say that he was killed or assassinated. Yes, assassinated or killed. This is not exactly clear. But he was buried, according to his last will and testament, in Imamzade Abdullah in Tehran, today's Shahr Rey. May Allah bless his soul. The late Sheikh Muhammad Taghi Qumi, one of the founders of Darul Taghrib Bainul Mazahib al-Islamiyah in Egypt, really an outstanding man who dedicated his life to the proximity between religions and Islamic denominations. Sheikh Mahtawi, thank you very much. And Sheikh
Siyainia. You're most welcome.
It was very kind of you. And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to us. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.com/Call of Islam page. Also, our YouTube channel and Instagram page, Call of Islam Radio. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi Amanullah.